How do you help the poor? It's an old question. The Roman Emperor Nero found the answer in the advice of Stoic philosophers like Seneca. Nero built an awe-inspiring palace covered in gold leaf, with the expectation that this would fill the lower classes with gratitude for being blessed with such a glorious leader. Perhaps not coincidentally, the Roman Senate ended Nero's reign by ordering him to commit suicide 4 years later. In the 21st century, our answers are not much better than Nero's. This is once again obvious as the American Economic Journal, Applied Economics, recently published 6 studies looking at the impact of microfinance on poverty. Now, microfinance has been hailed as a panacea for the world's poor. The Bangladeshi economist Muhammad Yunus popularized the practice by providing very small loans without collateral in order to support entrepreneurship and alleviate the more insidious effects of extreme poverty. The idea quickly spread around the world. There are now more than 10,000 microcredit organizations, providing 75 million borrowers with loans of over $38 billion in total. When the Nobel Committee awarded Yunus the Peace Prize, they lauded the important liberating force for its major role in ending poverty. Unfortunately, it turns out they were wrong. These 6 independent reports I mentioned, they covered multiple countries and over 37,000 people, and they all agreed microfinance is not especially effective. Now, reconsidering the idea in hindsight, maybe this should have been obvious. For the poorest, income can be very erratic. A microloan will ensure your kids eat this month, even though you didn't sell any vegetables at the market, but it won't allow you to lease more land or to buy a canning machine. It won't help you move up the economic ladder, in other words. It's a palliative. Microfinance treats the symptoms of poverty, but it's not a cure. Now, on the other hand, on those merits alone, it's still a worthwhile endeavor. Even the most basic banking services are needed in places like sub-Saharan Africa. And microfinance does make poverty less painful. At the very least, it doesn't hurt, unlike countless other answers to poverty, which turned out to be even more counterproductive than Nero's Golden Palace, for example. Now, we shouldn't be too disheartened by this news. Microfinance may not be working, but something is. In the last 15 years, we have seen a greater drop in extreme poverty by relative or absolute measures than at any other time in human history. In Asia, Africa, Latin America, every year, the ranks of the poorest shrink. In 1980, half of the world's population lived on less than $1.25 a day, which is considered to be the line delineating extreme poverty. Now, today, it's only 1 in 7 people. And most experts agree with the statistician Hans Rawling, who predicts that the number of people living in extreme poverty could be reduced to 0 within the next few decades. How? Well, that's where the debate begins. One predominant school of thought contends that the only way to do this is with large, well-coordinated, and well-funded aid programs. Proponents of this include U2 singer Bono, who has lobbied Canada, among others, to dedicate 0.07% of GDP to development spending. Others scoff at this. They point to the economic miracles of China and Latin America, and they say this had nothing to do with aid. They argue that trade liberalization and entrepreneurship are the only reliable ways to fight poverty. There's an increasingly vocal minority, not surprisingly heard almost exclusively in places like Silicon Valley, who believe in technology-driven solutions such as solar-powered cook stoves and Wi-Fi-enabled blimps. But others, like myself, are slightly skeptical of the idea that poverty only needs a better app to be solved. At times, this debate has been very heated, which is understandable given the stakes. After 2,000 years, frankly, there's still no consensus on how to help the poor. But, one way or another, there is a very good chance we may not be arguing about it for very much longer. This is Scott Gilmore from Maclean's Magazine.